culture, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fed Up, where federal workers just like you come to have the discussions and share their stories, frustrations, and experiences regarding the mistreatment, misrepresentation, and a whole host of other issues that we all deal with on a consistent basis. I'm your host, Ron Speakman, and today we have a guest on the show. My guest today is a clerk from Wisconsin with APWU. She is going to be sharing her story and what we will be talking about, her on-the-job work injury issues and anything related to that, such as harassment or retaliation, toxic work culture, mistreatment in an unjust and broken system that has been failing us all, and whatever else we dive into, of course. But without further ado, I want to welcome in our guest, Judy Rapicki from Wisconsin. Judy, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Judy, before we get into this, tell me, how long have you been a clerk in the post office?
4 years.
4 years, okay. And it is APWU that you've been a member of?
Correct.
For about 4 years as well?
Correct.
Okay. Now, Judy, you got injured on a job, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us a little what happened, how you got injured, and when exactly that was?
So I got injured February 17th of 2020, I went to the doctor to get checked, and because of COVID, they couldn't get me in until probably 6 or 8 months later. So wow. Here I'm suffering after that. So just from the job itself, it's very physical. It's pushing, pulling, twisting, bending, lifting. It's just the whole job itself.
Did you say 6 to 7 months, Judy, it took you to get treatment?
To just get into the doctor.
Wow. And did management ever, did they give you a CA-16?
I don't remember.
Authorization for treatment? No.
I don't remember. I went right away to ACS for treatment.
Okay.
Myself. No, they didn't give it to me. I went myself.
Yeah. So did they fill out the proper forms with you at all?
Dr. K at ACS guiding me through everything.
Okay. All right. Forgive me for interrupting you. I was just curious about the forms, but go ahead. Continue with your story.
Okay. So then I got into the doctor, whatever. I went to ACS. It's a multi-facility with a nurse practitioner, doctor, chiropractor, therapist. So that's where I went, and he guided me through everything. And here I am 2 years and 4 months later, still not working.
Wow. Wow. So you've pretty much been through it all.
Yeah. December 16th of 2020, I had my first surgery. And it was a labrum tear. Then it didn't take, it tore again. So I had another surgery on December 15th of 2021. And that did not take. So therefore, after therapy, MRIs, injections, everything you can think of under the sun, I've had. And they finally decided, okay, I guess she does need a new hip. So I've been waiting. I went yesterday to a second opinion for the third time. And it's just a waiting game. I'm just waiting, 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 waiting. There's always another excuse in the way. I am very, very miserable. I can't take any pain medication because of the way my system is so weak to medications. So I'm just sitting here crying and suffering.
Judy, who would you say would be dragging their feet more? Management, when it comes to the injury and your paperwork, et cetera, or OWCP and the Department of Labor, as far as when your paperwork is in?
In the very beginning, I had a very rough go with management. I had to file an EEO against them. A 204B, a clerk training to be a 204B took charge of contacting me through emails and whatnot. The postmaster did something to me that he had no business doing and even pushed my case further out, because that first year I was recovering, he had me literally go to a class for a week and sit there. And so therefore, I had to punch the clock, and it screwed all my paperwork up, which I didn't know any better. I was just trying to do what was right for me.
Going off of the good faith of what management was telling you. Exactly. And he screwed you by doing that.
So they're pretty sneaky and whatnot. So therefore, I had to file some paperwork over. And that clerk that was training for our 204B did not know what she was doing with all my paperwork. And somebody from the post office higher up asked her to send some paperwork over. Well, she sends it over blank because she didn't know what to do. And I said,
through
a text, I said, well, don't you think you should contact management if you don't know what to do?
You would think.
She goes, bitch, I did. Excuse me.
Wow. That's her quote unquote words that she used to you. Bitch, I did.
So therefore, I've been through all this on top of it. I had to file an EEO. It was a nightmare. To sum things up, they stuck up for that clerk. They asked me what I wanted, what repercussion for her. I wanted her to get fired. She had no business doing that. She changed the story around and said that she was talking to another manager because his name is Jude. So they got together and switched the whole whatever up because Jude and Judy, she said she was talking to the supervisor. I don't care what. I don't care if he's your friend. I don't care what he is. You're at work. In my book, you don't talk to a supervisor that way anyways.
Right.
Well, they stuck up for her. So I was through all that mess as well. And now here I am just sitting here waiting, hopefully getting my cases approved, but hopefully they approve this third surgery so I can move on with life. I literally can't even go to, like, my niece had a baby shower. I couldn't even go to that because I literally can't sit with my hip.
Right.
I'm in tears. I just can't. I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, the go off a couple of things that you just said. So first off, a clerk was going transitioning to be a 204B because she wanted to be a supervisor, correct?
Correct.
This is what I'm talking about, people. This is talked about with my other interview. This is talked about by me. I say this all the time. A lot of supervisors or management come from a craft that they can't hack doing, a high percentage of them, and they transfer to be a supervisor. They couldn't hack what they were doing, but they're going to do this now. But then to put that on top of it, the knowledge isn't there on what to do with any kind of paperwork regarding OWCP, correct?
Yes.
So in your instance, you got hurt before. You got hurt before they went into e-comp, correct? Like before e-comp came about as the only way. They weren't going to accept any more paper forms. When you got hurt, they were accepting paper forms, correct?
Yes.
2020, I think you said, right? I think that 2020 is when you first got hurt, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So that you were doing paper forms as well. So add that all up. They don't know what they're doing. And on top of it, what was the term? Bitch, I did, she said to you? about the paperwork?
Yeah, and then I confronted her with it, and she changed the whole story around. But
of course she did. That's what management does. They lie. They like to get away from things, sweep things under the rug. This is going on. Go ahead.
And so now, on top of all this mess, in August, I went for my flu shot, and they told me that my insurance canceled, my regular family insurance, well, individual insurance canceled. And I'm like, why? And so I went in my car and I called, and they said that it's because you became career. Okay. You can't have this insurance if you're career, and career clerks have different insurance.
Well, let me stop you there, Judy. Was this happened after the fact that you got injured, correct?
Yes. During all this. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was correct, because in my understanding, just when you're injured on a job, your pay status stays at the pay status that you were at upon the date of injury occurring. So I'm going there because Form 50, when we get our Form 50s and we're converted to a regular, or we get a promotion or the step increases, whatever the case is, depending on where you're at with the paperwork and stuff like that, which I'll get into in another episode, but there you're stuck at that pay status is what I'm trying to get at. So I'm questioning if the fact that they told you that you did get converted to a full-time regular, did that actually happen?
Nothing.
That was a bold-faced lie.
Okay, so now I get on the phone on September 27th and contact the union, and she was texting me back and forth, and I still have the texts, and she said that I discussed about the insurance, and she said, I just got off the phone with Mario, which is the postmaster, and he's going to talk to Jude, and you will get an answer back soon.
Okay.
To this day, Ron, nothing. So
unacceptable.
I turned to Kenny. He's in Ohio. Really? I have to go out of my own state to try to find help.
Yeah.
He's bending backwards, trying to help me, but there again, no answers from nobody. So at this point, I literally have no insurance because they told me, I called HR, they told me I couldn't, I don't know, they were giving me all these excuses. So I went under...
Management was giving you excuses.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went under my file, and I, in light blue, and I signed up myself. They said I couldn't sign up till the new year. So it started January 14th. So, okay. I was okay. Still fighting with Randy, the EEO, trying to get answers. So I had to cancel the first EEO and I had to redo a different one. Now I'm waiting for answers for that. So still at this point, no answers, no insurance. So back in April, they made me career due to the contract, but now Mario's telling me I don't qualify.
And who's Mario, Judy?
Mario's postmaster.
Okay, gotcha.
And then they're telling me that I'm an OWCP too long. So they're giving me different lies. I don't know where to go, Ron. I cry every day because I need insurance.
What is your... Now, do you
have no insurance. I have to have this shot, and I can't get it because I have no insurance. All because that's why when Chris talks so highly of APW, I can't stomach that because I haven't had any luck with them. I've called, you've given me the number, I've called, no answers. I've tried different numbers, no answers. HR of the post office can't even help me. I've tried different numbers, no answers. HR of the post office can't even help me.
Yeah, good luck trying to get through to them. We're going to get to the bottom of that, Judy. And Randy, okay. Randy is your, who's Randy?
Randy's the EEO out of
the mediator
downtown Milwaukee.
Got it. And then Mario is your postmaster. So basically it was management who was telling you first to clock in, which ruined some stuff for paperwork and all that. And caused a big mess.
That was horrible, because that's what I want to tell you too, is in the beginning when this first all started, Ron, it took me 13 weeks to get a paycheck. Then on top of that paycheck, Ron, I never got it. You want to hear why?
Why?
I've just been through the ringer. Because it's federal, I had an agreement with my taxes when I was working that they took out so much out of my checks. And because I got injured, it defaulted. So they saw that, oh, she's getting a big check. And this is from 13 weeks non-pay. And they kept it.
Wow.
Then when Mario did that crap with me, sending me to that class, and I punched in work, then all that paperwork was a mess. I didn't get paid for another 9 weeks.
So 22 weeks, no pay right there.
And look at. Oh, no, I got paid in between there, but it stopped because Mario did that little trick.
Yes, with the punching, clocking in.
Then it stopped, and then
So management had you do that, which was Mario. Management then proceeded to tell you that you were converted into regular, but then
I
they
found
also
out myself.
Then, but then they also later. Told you that you weren't you converted. You found out on your own.
And 5 months later.
5 months later, and they're still giving you the runaround
about insurance,
not knowing what the hell was going on with the insurance. They then tell you that you can get the insurance because you were converted, but then they tell you had to do it at the beginning of the year. Which may sound right because open season. However, when you have a qualifying life event, you're allowed to get into that insurance. Now, when you're converted, you should have that opportunity to also pick your insurance. Now, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's how it is. Well, it sounds like it lasts because of management, from what you're telling me.
They didn't tell me. Correct. Right. They didn't tell me I had to change insurances.
The bottom line is they didn't tell you that. They didn't take care of it. Whether they didn't know how to or they just didn't do it because out of their own willful misconduct. Either way, that's a problem.
Right. And now I think they literally don't know how to fix it, because I just got a letter yesterday and the day before that my insurance is canceled. Mm. And if there was any bills paid, they're asking for a refund. But there were no bills paid. With all this said, because I had no insurance, I waited a month crying every single day. I was literally in so much pain with my arms. And finally, I just went. I have no insurance and I have so many bills now, because come to find out, I had to go to two separate doctors and I have frozen shoulder.
Ugh. But Judy, it sounds like you've been through the ringer.
Yeah.
I want to bring this back around though. I wanted to allow you time to share your story. I'm sure we're going to share a lot more. But I want to get back to basically OWCP or management. Who would you say, real quick, drags their feet more or who delays more for whatever reason? Would you say it's an equal, or would you say one or the other does it more than the other?
Ron, that's a tough one. I think
I'd have to say equal. I kind of had to agree with you. I guess it all depends on your experience too, but I hear
they're both bad.
Yeah, they're both bad. Now, supervisors and management, I'm sure you dealt with constantly nagging you with your situation, your injuries. I mean, I recall a few things that we talked about in our recent conversations. But can you expand more on how, if there was any kind of harassment or retaliation going on or mistreatment, you know, treating you like crap, whatever, all because you suffered an on-the-job injury?
I feel that, Ron, but they say no. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Well, it's you. You feel like that or you don't. It's okay either way.
I do feel that way.
You do. Can you tell us why you feel that way for our listeners out there?
I feel that way because of my age. I feel that way because it's not my fault I got injured. It's an injury. It's an accident. So just because you're short help, you don't have to, you know, treat the help different just because they got injured. I don't know, like my boss right now, she literally makes me go through an extra step to get that monthly CA-17 into her. So I go to the doctor, he fills it out, I email it to her. She says, no, I can't accept this.
I'm sorry, your CA-17, it does have to be filled out, you know, side B, side A, you know, one's for the doctor, one's for them. What I recommend to everybody doing, just, and even, you know, Judy, for your case, I don't know, it may help right now, even though you're far into the situation. But when you first get injured in a job, to all the listeners out there, to CA-17, get management to fill that part out first in side A, what your job, you know, what your job restrictions are, not your restrictions, but your job responsibilities are, how much weight here, pushing, pulling, driving, how much time, all that good stuff that's on there. Have them fill that out. So when you take that to the doctor, what I want you guys to do now is make a copy of it.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Make a copy of that before the doctor signs his side out. This way you always have it. Have 10 copies available. When you get short and you need another, make 10 more copies. This way you never have to go back to him and it stays the same. But yeah, she's right though. You have to get that side filled out.
And just for the listeners too, I would download everything yourself to OWCP to make sure they got it.
Yes, eComp. That's why I love eComp. That's why eComp is here. I'm glad it's here for us. It takes out all the hassle that we had to deal with paper forms when we were hurting the job because of management sitting on forms, not knowing what the fuck to do. They're not educated enough. There's no training for them on this stuff. And meanwhile, there's federal code of regulations and timeframes that stuff has to be met by a certain time, and it's not. So they're violating. Where's the accountability for these people violating? Meanwhile, the more they violate timestamps on certain forms, the more they, you know, mistreat us and et cetera, it's causing more hardships and more delay for us and more issues for the injured worker. So again, I ask anybody who's listening that may be a politician out there, or whoever you are listening out there, a national union member, president, vice president, whatever your title is, where is the accountability? We have to hold these people accountable for their actions because we're tired of people just like Judy, just like I did, and many other people that I talk with out there across this country are going through such hardships, and it's such an easy fix if you just got the education and the knowledge, the know-how to do what you're supposed to do. So we got to start holding stewards, unions, vice presidents, where you at? Step up. Where is Judy's help in this situation? Where is her representation? APWU, what the fuck are you doing? With all due respect, we should not have members. You should not have members like this who are suffering and going through it. Judy, when we get off a call here, we're going to talk more about this. And I'm going to see if I can get you to the right location here with some numbers, but we're going to help you through this, but I just had to get that out there. Use eComp, people, the CA-17, make sure they fill out their part first, then make copies of it so you have moving forward for your other CA-17s in the future should you need them. But Judy,
Ron, just so you know, to the listeners, also they might want to note this, that those what's the word? I can't think of the word.
Take your time.
When you call OWCP, your adjuster.
Claims examiner?
Your case adjuster.
Claims examiner?
You have to be very careful with them. My case examiner, is another issue with me because I literally can't even really talk to her. She's very sarcastic and I don't want to say mean, but it's like she doesn't want to deal with it. I don't know, because like I called to ask her a couple questions and I said, I might be calling you back. She goes, well, just for your information, you don't need to call me back. There's nothing else to discuss.
Yeah, I've dealt with the same thing.
And then furthermore, just so people know that not to keep bothering them, because I know for a fact, somebody from a lawyer's office told me that they literally, if you keep calling them, they will put your file at the bottom of the pile and not even worry about it.
And how that's just straight bullshit, because if you're someone like yourself or myself,
so
we have no one to talk to, no one to help us. So we're trying to get the answers ourselves by talking to a claims examiner who should have the knowledge. And they're the ones that are getting upset with us. Now, I understand claims examiners a lot of time get yelled at by us. They get called names, lots of profanity, maybe bothered by a lot of phone calls. So you guys go through it. I get it. And I understand that. However, that is not an excuse to treat us like garbage.
That's their job.
That's their job. You signed up for that job. You don't like your job, quit. Go find another job. But if you're going to stay at that job as a claims examiner, doing what you do, then your responsibilities are your responsibilities. If we're not rude to you and we keep asking you for answers, it's because we want answers. Now, if we call you an asshole and we're throwing profanity left and right and we're rude to you, then I can understand you coming at us a little bit differently. And that's rightfully so. But if we do not show that kind of aggression, there's no reason for it.
So back and nice. And for her to tell me not to bother to call back, so I literally don't even call because I get no answers from nobody.
The best thing you can do, and to everybody out there listening, is if you do call your claims examiner, just keep in mind that they are, and this is not an excuse, this is just fact, they are underpaid and overworked, and their caseloads are huge. So when you keep calling, I mean, just remember that you be respectful and yes, sir, no, ma'am, whatever the case is, and just be respectful. I know it's hard to do sometimes. I've dealt with it myself. I even called my claims examiner an asshole and rightfully so. But again, had I not done that, maybe I could have caused less headaches for myself. So that's all I'm saying. Keep that in mind when you call them. Show them respect unless they show you otherwise. Then, you want to talk differently, then it's on you. But just keep that in mind because they will do that out of spite just because they're dealing with an asshole before you called. And now you keep calling. They're like, they're going to treat you the same. It's not fair, but this is the reality of it.
And Ron, Chris and Jeannie, there's got to be some other way also to, I know they got it out there.
You say Chris and Jeannie. You'll be talking Chris and Jeannie from Federal Injury Centers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because had I known about them in the very beginning, I probably could have had a little bit less of a headache, but.
Yes, I agree.
I don't even know how I ran across them. And oh my God, thank God I did, because they probably would have had a mental case on their hands.
You know what, Judy? I said the same thing. Had I met them earlier in my situation, I probably would have been better off as well. Chris and Jeannie from Federal Injury Centers, they're good people.
They are the best.
They go out of their way to help people. They establish a network of doctors for us to use. Did you end up going to a federal injury center by any chance?
No, because I'm in Wisconsin.
That's right. And you didn't have access.
You guys don't have anything around here.
Yes.
The closest I could go is Illinois, but I don't drive the interstate.
Yeah. I was just curious, but...
But I would love to meet all of you guys, but it's like, it's hard when everyone's in different states.
It is. Absolutely, it is.
But I mean, I know Kenny's probably glad to get... be retired, but he did a number for the post office also.
Yeah. He'll have federal time in is 40 years. It'll be soon. When you say Kenny, we are talking Kenny Hodge, correct?
Right.
Kenny Hodge from the Hodge to Hodge podcast. Definitely jump on and check him out.
They are just all so wonderful and they've helped me so much, but it's like, I still need answers. You know what I mean? I don't even know where my life is guiding me right now.
It's one thing after another. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's it? Not one single person outside of Kenny, Chris, Jeannie, and myself helped you thus far, Judy?
No.
Wow. Unbelievable. You know what? While we're talking on that, I want to talk about this now since we're on this subject of helping you. I reached out to your MBA, Todd Elkerton, who is the MBA for the clerk craft, and he's out of Bloomington, Minnesota. He represents your state of Wisconsin, one of the states. By the way, you also have 41 MBAs across the country who represent different states and regions, if you will, across the country, and some other crafts as well within APWU. I'm kind of surprised that no one else was helping you.
The facility I go to, that multi-facility I go to, they've helped me, but...
But that has nothing to do with your MBA, though.
No.
Right.
No, I tried contacting APWU months ago and got nowhere. Left several messages, no response back.
Right. And I wanted to talk about that because I made a call as well to Todd's office. And I gave him your information and I gave you his number and I told you to call right away. And you called him right away when I gave you the number, correct?
Correct.
So I had kind of like a twofold question. He gave you some advice and a number to call. Can you expand on that a little bit, what he said to you?
Yeah, he gave me an accounting help desk number, which I never called it because I don't know what they're going to do. I already called HR in my area, right, and they're just telling me, they told me to write a letter stating the whole thing about my insurance, and I did, and they still denied it.
So when he gave you this information, this number to call, how did it make you feel when you talked to your MBA? I'm just curious.
It seemed like he was trying to help, but yet he maybe didn't know how, or I don't know. I didn't get a very friendly vibe from him.
Okay. And you explained your situation to him, correct?
I did.
Yeah. See, that's kind of what I kind of got. I kind of got he didn't want to really be bothered. When I called him, was giving him information, like, look, you have a member that's in dire need of some assistance and representation. And I was gotten into your story, as we discussed before, and it just seemed like he didn't want to be bothered or unfriendly. So just, I'm glad that you experienced it too. And it wasn't just me. So that just solidifies what I was feeling as well. So it wasn't just me. So, but having said that, you said he called you back then.
He reached out to me in an email and then called me back and said that he forwarded everything to DeLeo Freeman from DC. And that was yesterday afternoon. And now another day went by with no response.
DeLeo Freeman, I believe he is the human relations director in APWU.
Correct.
Yep. He is in Washington, D.C. And I find it odd that he sent you to him. I'm sure it was for the right reasons. However, I mean, DeLeo Freeman, he's basically their human relations department comes in as far as they have programs and benefits, and their job is to inspire members to participate in the union and give them a sense of inclusion, contribution, ownership, whatever the case is. But I have a feeling that Todd sent you over to him because he had a feeling that Todd was like, well, why didn't Judy call me? And I told him, I said, she tried reaching out to many people in APWU months ago. And to her avail, nobody returned her phone calls. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe there's some good intentions there in sending you to Mr. Freeman for the HR director there. Maybe he can help you with the insurance part of it at least as well. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that gets done. But I find it odd that he sent you there and didn't want to deal with the other stuff because it sounds to me, talking with you today in this interview, that you have some grievances that are well overdue that need to be filed. Judy, I know we're going to continue to stay in contact after this, but you know, I just find it kind of odd that just went that way, how it went down. But I also find that there's division directors. I didn't know if they would help out, but they're all from DC as well. Like the director of the clerk division, Lamont Brooks, his name is. He also has two assistant directors under him, A and B, Sam Lisby and Lamb Palace Barber, I believe that her name is. But I was actually going to send you that way, but I'm glad that Todd sent you to DeLeo Freeman, and hopefully we can get some answers for you as far as that goes. Judy, you mentioned that you contacted the union. I just have to say, where is APWU? I mean, you need help. I mean, APWU got to do a better job. I mean, right now I'm talking to anybody in APWU National. You got to ask yourself, what can you do better to assist with injured carriers within your union? Because I can tell you firsthand, not just with Judy's story, but there are a lot of people out there who are reaching out to outside sources besides myself. I'm getting a lot of calls too, but when they get hurt in a job, A, their local representation is not existent, or they're in bed with management, or they just don't have the knowledge. One of those three, or even all of the above.
It just seems like everyone you talk to or speak with, even union reps in your own area, it just seems like everybody just passes the buck.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, passing the buck.
That's wrong. People are sitting here injured, in pain, frustrated, and are getting no answers. And after 2 years and 4 months, it's just ridiculous.
Right. I totally agree. And remind the audience, Judy, how long has it been now?
2 years and 4 months.
2 years and 4 months. She even has it down the exact day. Look at that. So that tells you guys, listen, APWU, please step it up. Where are you at? What can you do better? Ask yourself that. Usually I bash management. I'm not going to bash the union in this part. I'm going to tell you why. We still have to have accountability, discipline, structure, the whole nine yards, right? For anything to be successful. In this case, it's the union. But I'm looking at some things and I see on your website for APWU, if you go on the very homepage, you go all the way to the right, it says four locals at the top banner there in the header. If you scroll over that, you go down to frequently requested resources. And then when you click on that, you just scroll down a little bit more until you see OWCP issues. Now, when you click, and that's on the right side of those options. When you see OWCP issues and you click on that, it brings you up to external links. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. People who are listening to this, and Judy, maybe even yourself, you can comment on this when I'm done too. APW has lots of external links on their website. However, it took me a little bit to find this. So I would say, number one, I don't think it's that user friendly. I would put it somewhere else and have it on its own link, OWCP issues by itself, rather than, you know, under four locals and then requested or frequently requested resources. I would have it on its own issue, because one of the biggest issues is your injured carriers. But when you go to this, the external links, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's seven external links. All of these are great fucking resources to use. I don't know why they're just sitting here, but there's basically FECA, which is, you know, Federal Employees Compensation Act. Lots of information in there. There's Code of Federal Regulations. You guys heard me talk about this in some other episodes, and I'm always going to talk about this because the Code of Federal Regulation has a lot of codes in that we should be using to hold management or others accountable for these time limits being missed and for other violations being basically violated and conducted on a regular basis with no accountability. Again, another external link is the ER Chapter 540. That's basically, the 540 is basically the injury compensation program. It has forms, penalties, time limits, COP, employee rights. All this stuff can be used and is useful information. Then you have the Division of Federal Employees Compensation, DFEC. You have DFEC forms, which is basically your Department of Labor forms. And then you have the DFEC procedure manual. Guys, the procedure manual. This has a lot of language in there that we can, all this stuff here can be used for, to be put into our grievances, to be put into appeals to OWCP when you get a denial for whatever the reason is. There's a lot of stuff to be had here as far as information wise and knowledge to be used for grievances, but also our appeals. And I just find it odd that it's just sitting here. Meanwhile, many of you are going without help and the knowledge. And if this is here, I feel APWU, the national, should do a better job at disseminating this down to the presidents, not just the state presidents, but each local president, and also any kind of local storts. This information has to be learned and taught to everybody within. The information is here. That's great. I applaud that. But who is going to applaud that? Judy, did you go on the site at all to think about and look for this kind of information before? Did it ever dawn on you?
No.
Did you know it was here?
No, I'm just glad I found Chris and Jeannie when I did, because right. Otherwise I don't know where I would be at right now. Probably in the E ward.
Oh, man. That's, you know what? I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you, by the way.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable to think that this information's here, but yet people aren't using it. People don't know it's there, whatever the case is. I think APWU National, you guys are doing a poor job on getting this out there. Great job on putting it here, but who knows it's here? A lot of people don't. And it took me a good minute to find this as well. It should be right there to pop up because you have more injured workers than actually what you should be. But you know how the beast is. We all get injured every day on a job. It's just a matter of us reporting it or not. But when the people that do report it, this is what happens. We get screwed over by management. We get screwed over by our local representation, if we're lucky to have any. If we do, if they're doing what's right by us in our best interest. I mean, but Judy, do you have anything to speak on this as far as these links here? I mean, anything?
No, I just wish there was, like I said, I just wish there was more help out there and guide people. And right. When you make a phone call, get an answer instead of everyone beating around the bush, passing the buck. And it just frustrates the claimant.
What do you think is a realistic time frame for someone to return a phone call from you? If you reach out to someone in National or your president or whatever have you.
At least 48 hours.
48 hours. Yeah, I could see that. 48 hours. Absolutely.
24 to 48 hours.
And
I understand everybody's busy, but you know what? Us as claimants, people don't realize the stress we're under. Like every single day, there's a new issue, new homework for us. We may not be at work, but you know what? There's a lot of work to do at home to stay on top of all this.
Absolutely. It's a full-time job just to do it outside of work when we're at home sitting there injured and we got to do this all ourselves. It is literally another full-time job. Judy, you have definitely been through a lot more than what you should have been through. But I'm going to ask you, for what you've been through, if there's to the people listening out there, especially if there's someone like you going through it or who's just starting to go through it, what kind of message would you want to send to them out there, to the listeners, but more importantly, not just the listeners, but someone going through it as well, just like you are?
Just cross your T's, dot your I's, keep all your paperwork, go do everything through emails, because then you have a paper trail. Reach out to Chris and Jeannie if you can. If you have your hands on that information, please, because they are the ones that are going to guide you in the right direction.
And that's Wednesday night OWCP chats with Chris and Jeannie.
Correct.
Federal Injury Centers and also Breaking OWCP. Yeah, they're definitely there for us. They have tons of information. They also have the forms if we need any kind of form.
I just don't understand how people in my shoes, sometimes there's an issue. You have to make a phone call to get an answer, whatever. There's nobody there. There's nobody there to help you. It's just ridiculous.
Right. I know. I mean, it's not just your union. There's many unions and many agencies out there who are, you know.
And I feel that if you don't want to be a union representative and everything is a nuisance for you, mm-hmm. then you should be doing it.
Right.
Because with my union, it sucks. No help at all.
There you have it, straight from Judy. But also, like I was going to say, it's happening. Different members of different unions are going through the same stuff that you're going through, whatever agency, whatever union you're in, dealing with the same nonsense. So it's got to stop.
Yeah. And then in your union, I mean, you, of course, there's questions that a person wants answered. And they're out there complaining that an employee is asking too many questions. Really? Then you know what? If you don't want to do your job as a union rep, get out. There's someone out there that'll do it.
Absolutely. Just what we spoke about earlier with the claims examiner. If you don't like your job, you took that job. Get out and get someone else in there who will take it seriously. Totally agree.
Yeah.
And Judy, I want to ask you again, one more time, but in a different direction here. If you had a message to give to someone who's listening, who's not a federal employee, such as a politician or a person of power, or the title or position that could help us, the federal workers who are injured, what would that message be to them who don't know what it's like, who doesn't know about the toxic culture within our agencies or just the broken system itself? What would your message be to them?
Oh, geez, I can't even answer that, I guess.
It's whatever you want, whatever message you want to send out to the people listening that are politicians or anybody listening to this.
Are, are you saying that are on workman's comp themselves?
No, whatever. If a politician were to listen into my podcast, Fed Up, our podcast, Fed Up, because this is our platform, not just mine.
Oh, okay. They are just probably going to crawl under a rug and say, oh my God, these poor claimants.
Yeah. And please help us. Help us, because we need help.
Help, because you talk to outsiders and you can't even, it's sad because you can't even really share your story with an outsider because they just don't understand how this OWCP and supervisors are treating you. Like, it's just crazy. People just don't understand it. So like myself, I even like will try to explain things to family or whatever, and I just want to crawl under a rug myself and cry because they just don't understand it. They just think it's so terribly wrong that I'm being put in this situation I am. When I do my homework every day, reach out to everybody and getting nowhere.
Right.
It's sad.
Yeah. So please, guys, if you're listening to us and you have a position of power or title that could be useful in helping us, help.
Help.
Help us. Exactly. And that's straight from Judy, who's going through it as well. So a lot of people out there feel just like Judy, feel just like me. We need the help. Please help us. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Judy, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I greatly appreciate your time and sharing your story. I look forward to hearing.
I appreciate all your help as well. You've come a long way with helping me.
Absolutely. That's what we do. And that's what Fed Up is about as well. It's not just about calling out those people who need to be called out, but it's also trying to give people solutions to their problems or issues. And we should be there for each other. We all should unite and help one another because
can pass the buck. Cause it's like what I've been taught. I've reached out to two people and helped them and guided them and gave them phone numbers where to go because they were lost.
How did you get that information and knowledge to pass on?
OWCP Wednesday night chat.
There you go. Wednesday night OWCP chats with Chris and Jeannie on Facebook Live. So
Jeannie,
they have a lot of great information. I know you said Kenny Hodge also helped you. Myself including helped you, but that's what it's about. People coming together to help. And I feel like if we can get one, it just takes one politician, one congressman or one congresswoman to help us to set the stage and to get the ball rolling, so to speak. Because listen, I know there's a bill out there. It's called the Healthy Workplace Bill, if I'm not mistaken. I will be talking about that in another podcast. But some states voted on it. Some states don't. We need to get that passed because that's another problem that we deal with, which is workplace issues such as bullying, harassment, workplace violence, zero tolerance policy. There's so much stuff we deal with. But if you're listening, please, please, if you're in a position to help, reach out. My email is the number one, so it's not spelled out one, but it's the number one dot fedup, FEDUP, dot podcast at gmail.com. So that's one dot fedup dot podcast at gmail.com. Drop me a line. I would love to bring you on for an interview. We can have a discussion informally before jumping on and talk about issues. And we can even talk about some of your issues as well if you're a politician. But listen, at the end of the day, we need your help. Please help us. Having said that, again, Judy, I thank you for being on. And I'm going to close out the show with these quotes. Usually I do one or two. Today I'm going to do three. My first one to management is, listen, do the right thing. Even when no one is looking, do the right thing. It's called integrity. So again, let me read that again to you. Do the right thing. Even when no one is looking, do the right thing. It is called integrity. We need management to have integrity to do what's right and what's right by us, period. To the unions out there, in this case, APWU, but not just APWU, all the unions out there, because that seems to be the comparison that I'm hearing with my guests and with everybody that I talk to off the show as well, is management, but your unions as well. So to my unions out there, even APWU here in this case, every accomplishment starts with the decision to simply try. We're just asking you that you try better into what you're doing at representing your members. Let me read that again. Every accomplishment starts with the decision to simply try. And also, if you're helping someone and expecting something in return, in that case, you are doing business, not kindness. So let me read that again. If you are helping someone and expecting something in return, you are doing business, not kindness. I'll let you guys take that as you may. I'm going somewhere with that, but that's another episode. To my unions out there who I know who are doing some stuff they shouldn't be doing. But to my listeners, my most important people out there, my listeners, my injured workers out there, to all my federal brothers and sisters out there, I'm going to leave you with this for you guys. Don't put the key to your happiness and well-being in someone else's pocket. You control your own destiny. Never give up. Let me read that again. Don't put the key to your happiness and well-being in someone else's pocket. You control your destiny. So please, never give up.
Don't give up. Please don't give up. Just keep fighting.
Keep fighting. Absolutely, Judy. Appreciate you coming on. That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers, and together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends.
The shit.